This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right, Leanne, I'm going to tell you another story.
Okay.
This week. And this is episode 36.
Leanne, this story is the DePero family murders.
Oh.
Yes.
And
a whole family?
You will see. There's another little part of this title, but I'm not going to say it right now because I want to surprise you. Because this is an old story. It took place in the 60s, but I'm pretty sure you have not heard about it.
And I had not heard the name DePero until telling.
I had not heard about this story. And I actually found it, came across it, and I was like, how did I not hear about that? Oh, yeah, because that was way before I was born. I don't know. So maybe that's why I haven't heard about it. But this story takes place in 1961. All right. Arthur DePero, an optometrist from Green Bay, Wisconsin, decided to take his family on a vacation, and he chartered a boat from Florida to the Bahamas. He had always wanted to live for a year on a boat with his family, like a sailboat. And so he thought, well, this will be a good trial run. This will be our vacation. Arthur had a wife, Jean, son, Brian, 14, Terry Joe, 11, and Renee, 7. So on November 8th, 1961, the family boarded the boat, the Bluebell, two-masted sailboat in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They hired Julian Harvey, 44, a former Air Force fighter pilot and experienced sailor, to captain the boat.
Oops.
Harvey brought along his wife, Dean, age 34. They headed towards the islands of the Bahamas. They island hopped at the different chains of islands down there in Bimini to Sandy Point and to the Great Abaco Islands, which I've been to one time,
a long time ago.
First time I ever went out of the country, if anybody cares. On this vacation this week, they snorkeled, collected shells, played on the beaches, and just had the best time, the best week. At the end of that weekend, which was on Sunday, the family stopped by the office of Sandy Point Village Commissioner. And they filled out forms for leaving the Bahamas and returning to the U.S. to just let the Bahamas know that they were leaving. I really don't think you have to do that on boats, but that's like very official.
Yeah. Never heard of that.
Yeah. And Arthur and his family told the commissioner that was like the vacation of a lifetime and they would definitely be back before Christmas. So this Sunday night was to be their last night at sea. They're on their way back to Florida. Dean prepared, that's the boat captain's wife, she prepared a nice dinner for the families. The night started out normal, but something terrible would happen that night. The Bluebell would sink to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh,
I know. That's where I'm going to leave it. And then I'm going to sort of, we'll do like a skip back, like they do in my favorite show. Not Peacock, but
it's my favorite show right now.
Poker Face. Okay. All right, so this is how we're going to play this in a little bit. All right, so the next day, Monday, the lookout on a Puerto Rican oil tanker spotted a floating dinghy in the middle of the ocean. All right, it had a man on it. They rescued the man, and it was Captain Julian Harvey. He said,
it was just him?
It was just him. Actually, there was someone else with him, but so he said that he was the captain of the ship Bluebell, and it had went down at sea. And he actually had the 7-year-old girl, Renee, with him, but she was deceased. He said that he saw her floating by after the boat sank and pulled her onto the dinghy with him.
Huh.
Yeah. So in the days that followed, Captain told a story. It made all the news outlets. He said he was the sole survivor of this boat. He said a sudden squall damaged the sailboat, which, I mean, does that mean they got in a fight or does that mean
a squall is like a thunderstorm?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Leanne. You're so smart.
And
I'm going to leave that part in there. I didn't really understand. I'm just like quoting what you said.
Something weather related, like a storm or strong wind or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I was quoting what he said, and that is what he said happened. It damaged the sailboat, and he said his wife and the DePeros were injured when the mast and the rigging collapsed. Gas lines in the engine erupted. The ship caught fire and it sank. He said he managed to get the dinghy and raft overboard and jumped in it. He said the tangle rigging trapped everyone else on board and they went down with the ship. His story changed several times and seemed a little strange to some people. While he was doing an interview, he was being interviewed by the Coast Guard, I think it was, in Miami, it was announced that they had found 11-year-old girl Terry Joe in a small raft. Another ship had found her. She was alive. She had spent 84 hours floating at sea with no food or water and was all alone. She was in pretty bad shape. She was hardly conscious, but she was going to survive. During the interview with the Coast Guard, Jillian, he just stared off for a moment and said, "That's wonderful."
And he's probably, oh, shit.
Yeah. He left the interview abruptly and said that he needed to go. He wanted to go see his wife's family. Uh-huh. Instead, he drove to a hotel, checked in under a false name, and killed himself. Actually, cut his like leg and cut his own throat. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He like went, his like the main artery in your leg.
Yes.
Like he cut
exactly.
out to bleed out fast.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
pretty miserable. Who?
Yeah.
I mean,
he left a suicide note. Right. Yeah, he said that all of this was just too overwhelming. And somebody that knew him said the loss of his wife, the love of his life, led him to this.
Yeah, I'm not falling for any of this. Right.
Yeah. All right, so guess what? Finally, Terry Jo wakes up and is able to tell her side of the story of the events that happened that night. This is what she said happened. That night after dinner, she went to her room to go to bed. In the middle of the night, she was awoken by screaming and loud stomping in the cabin above her. So she got up to see what was going on. That's when she saw her mother and brother lying on the floor dead with blood all around them. She sees Captain Harvey walking towards her, and she said he just has like madness in his eyes. And she asked him what happened, and he slaps her or shoves her. Already slapped her, and then already shoved her, and tells her to get back to her cabin or her room. So she's terrified and does what he says. She soon realizes that the boat is sinking because I saw in an interview, like it's her now, an interview just a couple of years ago, she said her mattress started floating in her bedroom. And she was like, it's like water rising. So she knew she had to get out of there. So Terry Jo gets out of there and she sees Harvey again and asks him, is the boat sinking? And he says, yes. And that's it. But we did ask her this. He said, have you seen the dinghy? And she said, yeah, it had come loose from the boat. So he spots it in the water and he jumps in the water towards it and leaves her.
But she didn't see her dad, just her brother and mom.
She never saw her dad, which... I'll tell you, there's something that she says about that later. She didn't see her dad that night. She only...
Or Dean, again. It's his wife.
She didn't see his wife. And so she is... Okay. He just leaves her. And it's like super dark. I think about it. You're in the middle of the ocean. There is no lights because the boat's going down. It is like pitch, pitch black dark like you could never imagine. So this smart little cookie, 11-year-old, she remembers that there's a cork raft, which I found it so interesting that it was cork material. That was attached to the boat. So she finds it and it's still tied to the boat that is sinking and it's about to go down with the boat, but she manages, she frantically gets it untied just in time and the boat sinks. So she's on the raft, okay? Or
this is, whole thing
is more like a float, but I think he took the life raft or the...
They took the dinghy.
Yeah. She said in her interview that when she did that, she was like super, super quiet all night floating in that raft. Because she was so scared, but she didn't want Captain Harvey to hear and come find her and do to her what he, you know, did to her family. So she just said she just laid there still, like in the raft, didn't make a peep until the sun rose the next morning.
And bless her heart.
I know. And she said when she finally looked up and she was relieved to see that there was nothing around, but she was relieved to see that he was gone. But there wasn't any land in sight. And she just floated and floated, thirsty and starving. And she said that her skin felt like it was on fire from exposure.
Yeah.
She had even seen a couple of planes and ships, but the raft was, it was white around the edges. So they said that the reason they think that she wasn't spotted several times because it just blended with the white caps.
Yeah.
And
I
know. And she actually gave up hope, I think, on any of the, like when she would see a plane. She was just used to them not seeing her, you know? And she said that she had this dream where her parents were there to get her, and she jumped off the raft. And in the dream, like she's hallucinating, I'm sure, and dreaming that it was a dream. And she woke up, luckily, and had not totally let go of the raft. And she said that's when she knew it was dangerous to sleep. She couldn't even sleep, really, because she didn't want to fall off the raft or jump off it. So finally, a captain on another ship, he had like binoculars and he saw what he thought was a fisherman. But he was like, a fisherman wouldn't be on a boat that tiny this far out. And he knew then that that was not a fisherman. So they got close to her and they got her and they put her on their boat and she was dehydrated. And she had started having heart and kidney failure at this time, like when they found her. But of course, they got her just in time, basically. And fluids and rescued her, and she was going to be okay. And that's when, you know, it started coming out. And of course, that's when the Captain Harvey found out about it, and her story made national news. The captain of the ship that had found her, or somebody on the ship that had found her, had taken a picture of her on the raft. I guess they were high up because their boat was so big. It was like a, maybe it was a cargo boat. I don't know. It was high, and you could just see the little girl like sitting on the edge of the raft, and she was just tow-headed, like blonde and super tan.
Aww.
I know. It was like that picture was on the front of all these magazines and newspapers everywhere. She became so popular, she actually had to change her name.
Yeah.
And her aunt and uncle adopted her and raised her as their own. And she even said, my aunt and uncle are my parents. Like, they raised me. And they treated her just that she was one of their kids. And she said she had a great childhood. But she did say this, and I thought this was so interesting, that she said, even though they raised me since I was 11, they were like my parents. I was super close to them. She said, I would, until I was 35 years old, I would search for my dad. I would go to the shore, like of the Carolinas or wherever. And she said, close to where she lived. And she would go out and search, look at the sea. And she always like felt connected to the sea too, because she felt like the sea saved her. I don't know. Like
saved some weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But she was always looking for her dad. She said until
like,
she was.
Yes, they never found him.
I don't think they ever found anybody. But until she was 35 years old, she said she finally accepted that her dad was not alive.
Well, yes, she knew her mom and her brother were dead because she saw them. And then they did find
the little girl,
7-year-old, mm-hmm. in the boat with him. So really, the only person that she didn't know for sure was her dad.
Yeah, that completely made sense that she did that.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy that many years. It's so sad. Okay, so also, let me tell you a little bit about Captain Harvey.
I want to know, like, what the crap? He offed himself, and we don't know why he did it, or do we
know
what kind of demons he had?
Yeah, definitely they started figuring Captain Harvey out. He had taken out a $20,000 life insurance policy on his new wife. Wasn't even his wife for very long. And it was his fourth wife.
Okay. Yeah, she was a good younger, didn't he say?
She was 10 years younger. Was, yeah. She was,
I mean,
10 years.
Yeah.
He was 44. She was 34. But yeah, he wanted that $20,000. So they also.
Yes, that was a lot of money. Yeah.
Like in 61.
It's not worth all that.
It's still not worth it, I don't think. But no, that to me, even in 61, obviously that's a lot of money, but is it really that much? All right. He also had a wife that died in a car accident. He was driving her and her mother, and they like went off a bridge, and he got out of the car, and the mother and her died, drowned. So now they're like, that's suspicious. I'm pretty sure he might have had a life insurance policy on her too.
Oh, I'm sure.
No,
but no.
Huh?
Probably both of them. Probably
definitely he did Dean, because they figured that out real quick. So what they think happened is that night on the way back, okay, he intended to kill his wife only, all right? And then the other family that had hired him, obviously they either saw him do it or heard him do it, heard him do something, and say he had to kill them too. Because even, I was actually telling my mom this story, but she was like, what if they found the bodies and they were stabbed? How was he going to get away with it anyway? And I was like, that's a good point. I guess he was just hoping they wouldn't find the bodies, because chances are they probably wouldn't. But they could, somebody could wash up on shore. But honestly, in the 60s, they probably didn't have the best.
Maybe he didn't have a very good plan, unless he was just planning to sink the boat all the way around and just kill everybody in the boat. And he just got away.
Miraculously.
The family was just like collateral damage.
Yeah,
he's 20 grand.
That's crazy. Either that, but
I think he was a sane person or a good person.
No, he wasn't. Even if he, I don't know, it could have just. Was he planning on pushing his wife overboard? Maybe he did, because nobody knows how his wife died. Maybe he did push her overboard, and they saw it, and they knew he did it, and they confronted him, and then he killed all them. So who knows exactly how it happened? She was asleep, Terry Jo, so she doesn't know. The interview I saw, she was in her 60s now, and she went on to get married, have children of her own, and she wrote a book later in her life. But you know what the story kind of reminded me of? But this actually really did happen, but it reminded me of The Life of Pi. Have you ever seen that? It was a book, but I didn't read the book. So I watched the movie. But that actually was made up, but this really happened.
Yeah.
And it was so similar. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, where he was on the raft.
But he was on the raft with a tiger. But
I was about to say with the tiger.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah, he was trying to survive and he was out there. He just kind of really reminded me of it.
It's a weird baby.
Yeah, it was weird. I ended up liking it. But you believe that this is a true story and you've never heard it?
Yeah, I've never heard that name. But it's weird because you have been so into it. And it's below deck. So the whole time you're talking, you're like, she was in the cabin. She was like above her. And I'm like, oh, she was in the stew cabin.
Oh, I forgot you're in the below deck right now. You just told me that.
No, it was a sailing yacht. They chartered a sailing yacht because the corner they're watching below deck. sailing yachts too, because I ran out of other episodes on the other ones. But anyway, so yeah, that's the whole time I'm thinking about Below Deck, and that they chartered this boat and their crew killed him.
Yeah, he was like a prominent optometrist. Like at this point in his life, he was older. He had made money, yeah. And I think he wanted to take his family sailing on this boat. And they met a monster along the way.
And you're out there. Will.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? That was a crazy story, and I can't wait to tell you, because I thought it was so interesting, and I thought that
it was... Where did you come across this story?
It's weird, but I came across it on Facebook, on one of those, it's kind of like a reel snippet, and then I was like, this, and it showed pictures, which I'll post the pictures and everything, because that picture of her is just iconic, you know, of her on that float. I'd never seen it, but I'm sure it was iconic. It still is. It was just kind of... It really was surprising, the whole story was. And so then I looked it up and did my own research because I almost didn't believe it. I was like, is this a good story? But it showed her being interviewed now, her in her 60s.
Yeah.
Carrie Jo.
I'm going to have to Google it.
You absolutely should. Well, I'll save the pictures for when I post the episode, and then I'll send them to you because they're, or you can Google, you can see it on Google, but it's very, very good. The pictures are really just, it shows her like in the hospital. It shows her after she's all healed and a little bit, I think there's like a picture of her a little bit older, like interviews. But I think it was so popular, she had to sort of change her name and go on with her life.
So you said that Dean was his fourth wife?
Fourth wife, yeah.
Did he have children?
You know, it never said, but this is what I was going to tell you. I thought about that. Isn't it strange that he never killed Terry J?
I think he didn't think she was going to get off on that raft. He probably thought she was going to go down with...
No, he definitely thought that, but... I thought about this too. The little girl.
So we don't even know for sure that he killed the 7-year-old either.
I don't think he did. I don't know, but she really could have gone down with the boat. Okay. The 7-year-old. And then she could have drowned because it seems like they would have been able to tell if she drowned or not. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. Because I even thought about that. I said to my mom when I was telling her the story because I was just thought she'd think it was interesting. But I was like,
have a good cover up, like to have her with him. Oh God, I found her.
That's what I think he thought. But what if he didn't kill her? He couldn't bring himself to kill Terry Jo because I thought about it. What if he did have a daughter? They never said it. Okay.
Yeah.
But what if he did? Out of four wives, maybe back then, think about it. If you weren't with the mother, you really weren't with the child, you know?
Yeah.
And so what if he had a daughter and that's what caused him to not be able to kill her?
Yeah, possibly.
If he stabbed, I think he stabbed the mother and son. I don't know why he didn't stab her. I thought it was strange. I think it was a good strange, but there had to be, obviously he was a monster, but he had to have some kind of weird empathy towards young girls to not be able to like. And the only thing I could think of is that he had a daughter.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a niece that he loved or something. It was just like the only person he loved and he couldn't envision himself doing harm to them. He just thought it'd be easier just to let him drown because then I didn't actually physically do it.
Yeah, like a distant kind of thing, not like a hands-off kind of murder almost.
That's what I really think that because I think it's really strange. They talked about that in the interview. They're like, why didn't he kill her? Obviously, he was a madman that was capable of murder, but he did not kill her because his obviously thought.
I'm not saying he wasn't a madman, but I just think he was greedy.
Well, he definitely thought she was going to go down with the ship. Exactly. If he would have, think about it, if he would have done to her what he did to the mother and the brother, she would not have survived, period. There would have been no chance.
Wasn't get back to the mother and the brother. Maybe the mother and the brother were awake and they saw whatever he was doing to make the boat sink.
Mm-hmm. I think the dad would have woken up, though, so I think he definitely either knocked him unconscious or killed him, too.
But if he would get to make the boat.
Well, I'm not really sure, but it was the middle of the night. So I think I think he was going to kill the one. He knew how to sink it, obviously, but I think he was, or maybe he knew all along he was going to sink it. But I think in the middle of the night, maybe he was going to kill the wife and sink it. I don't know, but I think he was definitely going to kill his wife. And I think they overheard.
But we'll never know because he killed himself in the weirdest way ever.
We'll never know. And Terry Jo doesn't know because she was asleep. She was in her bedroom. It was,
middle of the night, but thank goodness.
She was in her cabin, like below deck. But thank goodness she was so smart, little cookie. People underestimate children just like they underestimate animals.
I would have been floating in the ocean. I would have never. Not that smart as an 11-year-old.
I think they're smarter. I think instincts kick in. But that's my big thing. In the last story, they underestimated the dog. And this one underestimated the child. Those are things I'll never underestimate because of things, but. they're people, we're humans and animals. But I don't underestimate them because they're not dumb.
All right.
Thank you for listening. And like, subscribe, email us, twoblondesleuths@gmail.com, Instagram, Facebook.
Great review.
We've got a TikTok, but we have not put any TikToks out yet. But we will.
Oh, gosh.